toys. Remember how, as children, they used to take us into imaginary worlds, give us imaginary powers, imaginary experiences? Well, quite a few grown-ups are still visiting those worlds and having those experiences by riding the rails of their model train sets. Model train and real steam train buff Howard Hahn says he and his fellow enthusiasts are not just building models, they're building stories.
And if you look in the layout, sometimes there'll be a bear sitting in the woods over here somewhere, or an eagle sitting in a tree, and just anything you can think of. In street scenes, there'll be a wrecker towing a car or a policeman having a car pulled over. And so the idea is it's not static. You've got a snapshot of something going on in real life, just reduced in scale to that size.
You make it sound as though you are sort of the lord of your own little magic kingdom.
You got it. Exactly. It's your railroad. And that's one of the things that kind of gets into conflict with purists who get so caught up in the scale aspect that if you use something out of scale, they say, well, I mean, that's something wrong with your railroad because it's not perfectly to scale. And I subscribe to the idea, if I like it, it's my railroad. If it's not to scale, I don't care whether you like it or not. And that's kind of an attitude that you can take because it is your hobby.
Well, I understand. You were talking about the creativity of this. Mm-hmm. I understand that two pretty creative musicians, Frank Sinatra and rocker Rod Stewart, are both rabid model train enthusiasts, as is Prince Charles. Now, I don't know about his creativity, but he messes in architecture and messes around with stuff. So there's a diverse appeal to this hobby.
Oh, absolutely.
What kinds of people do you meet when you mingle with other model train enthusiasts?
It's as diverse as just walking down the street, because people have different parts of their personality that they want to express through model railroading. Some people are very technical, and they have very electronically controlled layouts because that's an aspect of railroading they enjoy doing things that involve computers to control train speeds and switches. Or you've got somebody who just enjoys the art, and their outdoor scenes will be very detailed and artistically laid out because that's their expression. That's what they get out of it. It is designing the eye appeal. Others, it's being very accurate. This particular car was used between the 55 and 61, and they used it to do this or that, and they just get into the minutiae of detail, but that's their thing. They may be very detailed kind of people. I know a dentist in Stanton who had a huge Lionel layout in the attic over his garage. You know, what would a dentist, what would he find in a model railroad layout? I'm not real sure particularly, except sometimes just fun to watch them run. And then there's the creativity of laying track and adding turnouts and having a city, or having just a long run. I know some people like just see long, straight runs of track and see the train go down the track and bend and come back around. Others like mountainous kind of layouts.
Well, you get these opinionated people together who all have their trains layouts just the way they want them. You get them together in a convention. Do you have arguments? Do people?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. There is a free exchange of ideas because everybody kind of has their own reason for doing their layout. And what's happening is they're saying, I've got this problem.
Oh.
Have you run across it? So they're not necessarily getting into what's different about their railroad, but it's a case of, I'm having trouble making little trees, or I'm having trouble designing a structure of a certain kind.
Life is so chaotic, and it must just be fabulous to have this little kingdom, I used that word before, that you can control and that you can make decisions about.
It is you are the master of that domain. And Amen. Nothing runs without your permission, and nothing is done without your creation. I mean, if you want a mountain here, you put a mountain there. And no one say you can't put a mountain there. See, it's that ability to control everything in one part of your life.
Is it, well, it's more than a lot of people have.
That's right.
Are you on the internet with this? Are there chat groups?
Yes, there are.
There are. And do you participate?
I have on occasion. I've kind of drifted away in the last couple of years from doing the modeling aspect to being more of a rail fan.
Okay.
And visiting and seeing actual prototype trains and the boarding them and riding some trains.
Prototypes of those steam locomotives?
Particularly steam. Just as a personal aside, C&O Railroad was able to get a hold of a line of locomotives that was used on the C&O Railroad. It was restored. It's called number 614. And it had been restored and was taken down to the Transportation Museum of Virginia to be displayed until just a few weeks ago. Then they were moving it from Roanoke to Clifton Forge for an event that was going on in Clifton Forge. And I wanted to catch that movement. And I emailed the C&O Historical Society in Clifton Forge and said, can you let me know when they're going to do that movement? It's coming through Waynesboro. And I'd love to be there in time to catch it. Well, long story short, as these things go, it did not run on schedule. I did not get to see it make its move. But then I also found out that it wasn't under steam. It was being towed. And that is so discouraging to a steam fan to have a diesel towing your pride and joy.
I'm sorry.
It's one of those things that, for me, a steam locomotive under steam is a beast. It's a living creature because you got to fire boiling water making steam. Well, that steam's got to go somewhere. So you've got poppet valves and check valves here and there. And even when it's just sitting at the station, there's steam hissing out of valves and just all kinds of things going on. You'll hear things open up and close and just it's sitting there like an animal rearing to be let go. And the locomotive engineer opens the throttle, and all of that steam is put to use to move that locomotive and everything it's pulling. And to me, that is, I don't know, it's just something, it's mechanical, but it's a symbol of man controlling this power of steam. And to be not under steam and towed by a diesel is just so sacrilegious as far as I'm concerned. But I'm going to Clifton Forge to see it sitting at the station. They're also going to move it over to, I think it's the Greenbrier.
You could wear a black armband for it.
No, it's still fun. We went down to see the Transportation Museum, and you can climb up in the cab of these locomotives. And still, it's just fun to stand there in the cab or sit in the engineer's seat or on the fireman's side and just realize that, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, people were making a living. People were moving freight. The families that were fed because somebody worked on that railroad, it just all is connected. And you're standing on a piece of machinery that people built. And it's really, I don't know, it just brings back all kinds of visions.
It's real continuity across time, isn't it? That
yes.
you're able to be associated with something that was built by people who are long dead.
Yes, they're gone, but there's that still that piece of machinery sitting there, and in some cases can even be brought back to life. Excursion railroads run all the time. We're going to do one on a vacation we're taking in a few weeks that I'm going to get a chance to ride on a locomotive.
Are you going to be pestering the conductor to let you?
Well, no, I did actually get an opportunity last fall to engineer a locomotive.
You're kidding.
I sat in the engineer's seat, I tooted the whistle, let off the brake, put it in forward, and opened the throttle, and took it down the track for about 200 yards, and then reversed all that, stopped, put it in reverse, and backed it up. I did that four times. I got a certificate. I have, in fact, engineered a steam locomotive. Yee-haw. Another check off my bucket list.
You have lived. So when you're associated with him, what's the feeling like? You feel like a kid again? You feel like, or just that the kid in you lives? Or what do you feel?
I think that's it. I think it just renews the youth of enjoying, hearing trains when I was just a really young child, and then actually having model trains, which I still enjoy. But there's just also a connection with the past, the fact that what railroads did, and that I'm standing on a piece that, you know, floorboard of in the cab of a locomotive that was part of helping connect America at some point. I mean, every railroad at some point had a connection with other railroads. So regardless of whether you're out at Cass, West Virginia, which was a logging railroad,
yep,
it brought wood down the mountain, which was then moved by rail to other places that built houses and did all kinds of things. So every railroad had some connection. I mean, nobody built a railroad just because they wanted to see the train.
Yep.
It had a financial reason, and that connected people with things. But I just enjoy the fact, and still just the beast standing there on the deck of particularly what would be a Mallet, which has got two sets of pistons and sets of drivers that can articulate around curves, so part of the train is moving while the rest of it's still, it's just that the technology of the time, they thought, man, this is the greatest thing ever invented.
Yeah.
And it has since passed. They no longer use them. They just sit in museums. But to be able to touch those and, I don't know, I just really get kind of a thrill just here talking about it.
I can see it in your face. I can see it. Howard, thank you so much.
Glad to do it. Thanks for inviting me.